Lord tells us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Welcome to the Word in Motion with Pastor Chuck Kane from Calvary Chapel of St. Clair County. Now let's get into our study with Pastor Chuck.
With his magic. So he was able to pull off these stunts for quite a while. He was consistent, and boy, they thought this Simon was something else. Verse 12. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And baptism means you're identifying yourself as a follower of someone. When they got baptized in Jesus' name, they now were saying, I'm a follower of Jesus, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. So that's what they were what we were seeing here by them being baptized. And it says both men and women were joining in this. Verse 13, Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. Now, it's kind of a side issue here when it mentions he's a follower. When a person becomes a believer, they're becoming a follower of Jesus. And when you and I call ourselves a Christian, what we're saying is we are actually a follower of Jesus Christ. We're a follower of His. So for people today, in our country or anywhere else in the world, who want to say, I'm a Christian, but they're not willing to follow Jesus, they're really not a Christian. They're just using a title there or a name, but it isn't really what it means. As we claim to be a believer, a Christian, we're saying, I'm willing to follow Jesus. When he's the teacher, I'm the student. When he tells me something, I listen, I learn, and I do what he tells me to do. And that's the true picture of what a follower is. Now, we catch something here about Simon in verse 13. It says, when he followed Philip everywhere, he was astonished by the great signs and the miracles that he saw. Now remember, this is the magician. This is the guy that was able to pull off all this stuff. He was into all these things that fool people. I think he was so astonished because he knew this was the real deal. That's why I told you, I think that this guy was probably just more like a magician. I don't think he really was messing with some kind of spiritual powers, because he was astonished when he saw these guys doing the real thing. He saw Philip and thought, wow, this stuff's really happening. So Simon here is amazed by what he sees. He knows the fake when he sees it, because he's a fake, but he also knows the real deal, and that's what he points out here. Now verse 14. When the apostles in Jerusalem, that's back at the home church base in Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. And this is Peter and John, the apostles. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. So they prayed for the Samaritans, said because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, some interesting things going on here. Today, when a person becomes a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit comes and indwells that person. And the Holy Spirit has sealed us. He is keeping us until the day when Jesus returns or we go to be with the Lord. The Holy Spirit has sealed us in Christ. So today, when a person gets saved, when they get right with God, the Holy Spirit immediately comes in and He is there with us. But what we see happen here is the Samaritans, they said, I want to be a follower of Jesus. They were baptized, but the Holy Spirit had not come upon them yet, we're told. So I think what was happening here, the apostles had to be present, because here's a new people group that's coming into the church. Remember, the church originally was just Jews from Jerusalem. Now we've got another group, Samaritans, who are going to be part of this new thing, this church. So as the Samaritans are brought in, the Lord made sure that Peter was there and John, another apostle. They had witnesses who would say, yes, these people, they're in too. And they had the witness of the Holy Spirit coming in these people and upon them. And as that happened, now they knew they're part of us. They're part of the body of Christ too. So the Lord had that going on here. Another thing that's interesting, it says the Holy Spirit had come upon them. There must have been something visible that happened, because Simon noticed something. Look at verse 18. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, give me this ability so that everyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. So he noticed something. He knew there was a real thing that just happened. These guys came here, they prayed for these people, they laid hands on them, and now something occurred, and we're not told what it was, but it must have been something visible. So let me talk just for a moment here about that Holy Spirit coming upon us. When a person becomes a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes within us, and we call that the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He lives inside of us. He comes in, though, as a guest. When you and I surrender to Him, when we submit, when we let go and say, Lord, I give You my life, and I'm letting You run my life. I'm turning it over to You. When we do that, then we're allowing the Holy Spirit to be the Lord of our life. So that's a little different event. We're told, you know, that we're to be filled with the Spirit, and that's telling us we need to surrender to the Holy Spirit, let Him be the Lord of our life. Now, unless we're willing to do that, we'll be a believer who has the Holy Spirit in us as a guest. And He will stay as a guest until we submit and say, would You please be the Lord of my life now? And as that happens, now we can see God work in powerful ways. Now we can sense the Lord leading us. The Lord moves us to do things. He gives us words to say sometimes to people that we weren't planning on saying. All these things the Lord can do through you and me. He empowers us to be a witness for Jesus. You know, there was a time in my life when I hadn't done that. I had allowed the Holy Spirit in as a believer. I knew the Holy Spirit was inside of me, but I had not surrendered and let the Holy Spirit lead me. I hadn't let Him rule my life. So the day came where I had to go through a crisis for me to wake up to that point, and I did surrender completely to the Lord and say, Lord, take my life, and You can do whatever You want. I let go completely. I give up. And when I did that, the Lord said, it's like the Lord was saying, well, it's about time. Now I can do something. I was waiting for You to get out of the way. So when that happened, I saw the Lord do some amazing things. An opportunity to do a funeral. And the funeral that was, someone asked me, would you please do this for our relative who passed away? And I went to do the funeral, and as I did, I was told afterward, and I was just, seriously, for the funeral, I was praying, Lord, please give me the message You want me to give and speak to the people's hearts, encourage the family, and do whatever work You want to do, Lord. Just use me as a vessel and, you know, let me, as I would say, let me show up and get out of the way. You know, let the Lord do His thing. And an amazing thing occurred. Lord was teaching me what happens when we just trust Him. The guy who had asked me to do the funeral, he said his nephew almost came and walked the aisle at the funeral. He said he was under so much conviction as he was hearing that he wanted to give his life back to the Lord. He had been a believer, but he had been living with the Lord, hadn't been walking with the Lord. But he was so, his heart was pierced as he was listening to what the Lord was saying. As I just said, Lord, do Your thing. And he came forward. He wanted to come forward, he said, and just come up there and give his life back to the Lord and say, Lord, I come back to You. Now, the thing was, it really struck me was, I didn't ask anybody to do that. I didn't say anybody wants to give your life to the Lord to come forward. I didn't do that, you know. And yet, he said he had everything you do to not come forward and do that. So I saw the power of God start to work in amazing ways. And the Lord empowered me just to, as long as I got out of the way and let the Lord do His thing. So when it talks here about the Spirit and the Spirit coming upon these people, it wasn't just that the Holy Spirit said, hey, how you doing? I'm going to come in and be the guest now. The Holy Spirit came in, but they were willing to receive the Spirit, as it says here, and allow Him to be the Lord in their life and to lead them. Now, Jesus gave the same example Himself because Jesus allowed the Holy Spirit to lead Him in His life. If you read the passage about Jesus going into the wilderness to be tempted, it tells you in the passage at the very beginning, He was led by the Spirit to go into the wilderness. So why did He go out there to be tempted by the devil? Because the Spirit was leading Him, and He was allowing that to give us an example, to say this is what you need to do also. Allow the Spirit to lead you in your life. Now, let's take a look further here. In verse 18, again, when Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money. And he said, give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Spirit. Now, he was used to doing magic for money. That's what he did. So when he saw these guys do some pretty powerful stuff, he thought, hey, I'll give you guys the money because I want to know how to do that too. I like that one. I want to see how can I lay people, my hands on people and see them, boom, have a change take place. So when he does this, he's kind of leaning on what he used to know. He's not leaning on the new life he has in Christ or not leaning on the Spirit's leading. He's simply doing what he's always known. Pay money and get some power. Okay? Now verse 20, Peter answered. Notice Peter's reaction to this. May your money perish with you. Woo! Strong words, Peter. But remember now, Peter's already had to deal with Ananias and Sapphira. Remember when they fell over in church there because they lied to the Holy Spirit? So Peter, he's reacting to this guy, and it should make him a little nervous if he knew the story. I don't think he knew about Ananias and Sapphira, but Peter says, may your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You notice already, as we've been going through the study of Acts here, money is a problem. The people's reaction, their love for money, the way they use money, it can be a real problem, a real issue here. But here, he says, you can't buy this gift from God with money. It's like you really cheapen the gift of God when you want to pay for it. God gives free gifts that are invaluable. You can't buy them. You can't do anything to earn them. They are totally free because they're so valuable you couldn't buy them anyway. So when he offers to buy this, Peter reacts. Look at verse 21. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. He says, repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin. I think what was going on here, he looked at Simon. He could see a little bit of jealousy in Simon's heart because, remember, Simon was the man. Before they showed up, he was the guy. Everybody looked up to him and said, man, he's like a god, you know. Now Simon has these other guys that are having the crowds follow them. So Simon's been trying to hide this, apparently. And Peter said, I can see your heart, man. You are not right with God. You are captive by sin. You are selfishly controlled by your own sin. And you know what? That's the same with you and I when we allow our selfishness to get in the way. That leads us to sin. Because we want things our way. We want to do it the way we want to do it. And here we have a guy, Simon, who shows us a picture of how bad that looks when we are captive to sin. So verse 24, then Simon answered, pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said may happen to me. Now, there's one thing to do in a situation like this. When you have been caught and you realize that your heart is not right with God, you have done something that in the eyes of the Lord is wicked, there's only one thing to do, and that's what he said, repent. And I would add to that, you need to repent fast. I don't know if what you think as you read through this. I was thinking this through with Ananias and Sapphira's story. Remember, they didn't have much of a chance. When Peter said, you lied to the Holy Spirit, boom, they fell over dead that fast. You know, so there wasn't much of a chance for them to even think about repenting. Here, he tells this guy, repent. And I think one thing we learn as we go through our study here in Acts is, when you need to repent, repent fast. Don't wait. Do it now. Get it over with. You know, it's kind of like you got to go take that licking from the Lord. Just go and get it over with. Get right with God again and start back on the right path. So he tells him to repent. And I believe that's what Simon did. We don't have the end of the story. But I think it's a good thing when Simon says, I don't want this to happen to me. Please pray for me. That's a good thing. Verse 25, when they had testified and proclaimed the word of the Lord, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. So guess what they did? They continued to preach about Jesus and tell people about Jesus all the way home. I think it's kind of funny because it looks like they passed all these Samaritan cities going there to this particular one where they went, and it doesn't sound like they stopped at any of them. But once they came here and they saw the Samaritans, they received the word of the Lord, it's like, well, the Samaritans are in. We're free to preach to them now. So all the way home, back to Jerusalem, every place they went through, they preached to the Samaritans, the untouchables. Now think about this. You and I are free to preach the gospel to anybody because the Lord has brought all the people in. He's brought the Samaritans in. He's brought the Gentiles in. The Jews are already there. So God has opened the door for you and me. We are free to preach the gospel message to anybody, including the untouchables. So hold that thought. Look at verse 26. Now the angel of the Lord said to Philip, as we see Philip doing some more ministry here, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. So this guy was a big shot. It says this man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. So he had a heart for God. He was going to Jerusalem. It's possible he was a Gentile convert to Judaism. It says here, and on his way home, it's going back to Ethiopia, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. Now, I want you to catch something here about Philip as we look at this one. Philip had a tremendous ministry going in Samaria. Said many people had experienced healings, many had experienced demonic deliverance from the devil working in their life. And here he has a real big, powerful ministry going. And the Holy Spirit, notice the Holy Spirit's leading and he's following. The Holy Spirit says, I want you to go into the desert now. And he's going here to reach one man, an Ethiopian eunuch. Big shot, but it's only one guy. Now, I don't know about you, but this is an interesting challenge to me. When we're following the leading of the Lord, he might tell us to do some things that might hurt our pride a little bit. Might seem like a demotion. Can you imagine you're starting to see all these fantastic things happen in Samaria, and the Holy Spirit says, okay, I want you to leave all that now. Get away from all that, and I want you to go out here in the desert because there's somebody out there I want you to reach. We don't see Philip complaining at all. But you know what? From what we're used to in our country, as far as rising up the ladder, this would be like a demotion. It's like, you're going to go backwards because I want you to go out there. Leave all this stuff you got going. Just go out there in the desert. How about you? I've been in those situations before where I felt like, Lord, why are you demoting me? I thought we were doing okay. And Lord says, no, I want you to move and go over here. You're thinking, well, I don't understand that, Lord. But you know what? You just hold on because God knows what he's doing, obviously, even though you may not. But through this little episode here, reaching one guy, think about the end result. Here's a big shot in Ethiopia. I mean a big shot. And he's getting saved. He's getting right with God through this. He's going to go back into Ethiopia, into the upper echelon, and he's going to take this message with him. So now, because Philip was faithful and reached one guy, now the gospel message is going to go back to Ethiopia through one of their own, and they're going to get to hear the message from a guy who's well-respected over there. Okay? So we may not be able to see what's happening down the road, but when God tells us to do something, even though it may sound like, well, I don't like doing that, Lord, that's against my pride. The Lord is saying, you just do what I show you, and you'll see down the road. So here we see a great example of Philip. No complaining. He just goes with it. Now, verse 29, the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot. He heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet, Old Testament here. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I? He said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? Now, depending on your translation, you might have the next verse, or you might not. I've got the NIV I'm reading from today, and I don't have verse 37. You might notice if you've got that one too, you have verse 36 and verse 38. But hopefully you've got a footnote at the bottom where it gives you verse 37. And I wish they'd have left that in here, but at least the footnote's here. Because when he said, what's keeping me from being baptized, in verse 37, Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. The eunuch answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I think that's important for us to see because it lets us know that baptism is only for believers. It's for a person who has put their faith in Christ and said, I will be a follower of Jesus. It's not for anybody who just says, I want to get sprinkled or I want to get wet or something, you know. Baptism is for our believers who say, I'm willing to publicly confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I'm willing to do that. So here we have this guy who his heart has to be right with God before Philip is going to baptize him. So he does make the profession. Yes, I do believe Jesus is the Lord. In verse 38 there, he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Now notice there wasn't a big crowd here. A lot of times when we have baptism, we try to have people there as a witness that you have declared yourself publicly as a follower of Jesus Christ. But there doesn't have to be the big crowd. That we have Philip here, he's a witness. We have also the chariot driver. I'm sure there must have been a couple guys up there. And with those guys, they were witnesses. But it's important that there is a witness so someone knows you're publicly declaring Jesus as your Lord and you're willing to follow him. But it doesn't have to be a whole group there. All right, let's go on to verse 39. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away. And the eunuch did not see him again, but he went on his way rejoicing. So picture this. They came up out of the water. Philip was zapped away by the Holy Spirit. He was gone. And the Lord had something else for him to do. So he did a very powerful thing here. He just grabbed him and moved him. And how that happened, we don't really know. It doesn't tell us, but he moved him. Okay? But what we do see is the eunuch, he comes up and he sees that Philip is now gone. Now, I think it's encouraging. It says he went on his way rejoicing. Now, wait a minute. He just lost the guy who had told him the great news, but he still went on his way rejoicing. You know what? He didn't need Philip anymore. He had Jesus now. And that's the same with us. You need Jesus. That's what you really need. You don't need someone else, okay? It's cool when someone has shared the good news with you and you came to know Christ through them. And it's cool when you have someone there who's willing to open the Word and help you with the Word, but you don't need them. You don't need me. You need Jesus is what you need. Now, it's cool to be used. I can't say I don't want to ever be used by the Lord. I don't want to not be used by the Lord. I want to be used, but you don't need a person who's going to actually teach you the Word of God. You can get in the Word yourself. You have Jesus. He can help you. Okay? God is using people. But we always have to make sure we keep our eyes on Jesus. Don't put your eyes on other people and other things. Unfortunately, as humans, we'll disappoint. We're sinners. We're in the flesh. We have the flesh going in us, and we will disappoint. But Jesus never disappoints. There's a time in your life where you probably end up realizing you're alone. And the only person you have is Jesus, but he's always there. I can tell you that no matter how bad things get, how low you get in your life, Jesus will always be there. Even when people disappoint you, he will not. So you can always turn to him. So this guy goes away rejoicing because he's got Jesus, man. He is on the right track. Verse 40, Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. So we see that Philip continued on with his ministry, continued to serve the Lord. Now, just a lesson I see as we look at Philip here. Philip's example for us is how he was able to share the good news, okay? First of all, he was following the Spirit's leading. And that is so important. When you and I are wanting to share the good news about Jesus, we need to be sensitive to the Spirit's leading. Because the Spirit wants to lead you and me. He wants to empower us to be that witness for him. The only way to do that is to submit and say, Lord, lead. Let me follow. Let me see your lead. Let me follow where you're leading. Secondly, he was sensitive to where this guy was at. When he got up there and he heard the guy reading from Isaiah, he asked the question, do you understand what you're reading? The guy said, no, I don't. How can I? I don't get it, you know. So he not only was following the leading of the Spirit, but he was also checking out where you at and going from there. And then the third thing was, he used the opportunity to explain the truth to them, okay? And that was by using the Scripture. Because, boy, this was an easy one. Here, he comes up, the guy's already got the Bible open, basically. He's reading the Bible, he just doesn't get it. So he said, you understand that? No, I need somebody to explain it. Well, here's the explanation. And he showed how Isaiah 53, that was quoted here, was talking about Jesus. And notice, you can even use the Old Testament to explain Jesus, because he is there too. So for you and I, we get a great lesson from Philip, a great example to follow, how we can share the gospel in a very simple way with people, how we can tell them about Jesus. You've got to follow the leading of the Spirit. You've got to be open and sensitive to where the person is at, and then simply explain the truth using Scripture. And that's why we study the Word of God, so we can explain that to people. Today, as we close in prayer, then I want to ask you to consider, where are you at with the Lord? You know, has the Lord been working in your life? Is he wanting to do more in your life? Have you submitted to him as much as you need to? So let's pray. Father, I thank you for the joy you have brought in my life, as you have been opening me up to yourself, Lord, and allowing me to follow you where you lead. And I thank you, Lord, for the people here today. I pray that you'd help each one just to surrender and just to give it up to you, Lord, to let you lead in their life. And, Lord, if they've been holding anything back, I pray today you would let them help them to let go. Lord, you bring such joy as we follow you. The persecution and tribulations may come, but the joy that you give us in return is such a blessing. We do thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing, and give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us today at The Word in Motion. If you would like to hear more studies from Pastor Chuck or get information about our ministry, you can go online to thewordinmotion.org. Or if you'd like to drop us a line, you can write us at The Word in Motion, 1827 Robb Avenue, Belleville, Illinois, 62226. Don't forget to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. When I talk, I speak your truth, my voice will rise.